Good morning. I call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. The time is 9:02 a.m. We are meeting in the Senate Finance Room in the State Capitol. Please silence your cell phones. This is Co-Chair Natasha Von Imhoff, and I am joined today by Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Wilson, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Schauer, Senator Hoffman, Senator Machicki. We also have President Giesel here today and Senator Carlin. We do have a quorum to do business. Today's agenda is Senate Bill 41, Number of Superior Court Judges, and then the second bill, Senate Bill 54, Alaska Railroad Corporation Land Transfers. I'd like to direct members' attention to our first bill, Senate Bill 41, Number of Superior Court Judges. On March 8th, we heard the bill. There was no public testimony, and we reviewed the fiscal note. My office received no amendments. I have Nancy Mead here today, the general counsel for the Alaska court system. She'll be available for questions if the committee would like to discuss this bill further. Is there any further discussion? Okay, Senator Hoffman, can I have a motion to move the bill?
Good morning, Madam Chair. I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass Senate Bill 48, 31/LS0380/L from committee with individual recommendations to the next committee of referral.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Is there objection to moving the bill from the committee? Seeing no objection, the bill moves from committee. Members, please sign the committee report. We will continue to move forward as we look at the next bill. Next bill up is Senate Bill 54, an act approving the transfer of certain Alaska Railroad Corporation land and providing for an effective date. I would like to invite Senator Coghill and his staff, Renee Moss, to present the bill. Please identify yourself for the record and begin. And please be sure to admire the new computer that's set into the glass via the vision of Senator Stedman.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Senator Coghill, Senate Seat B, Fairbanks North Pole area. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 54, Madam Chair. Last year, we went through a process of getting the railroad ability to sell and authorize the sale of certain pieces of property. In the Healy area was one area that we had agreed on. And if you remember correctly, those of you who are here, we made the railroad run through quite a gauntlet to get this particular bill. In the process, we got the property description off. And so Reneva Moss can explain the why and how to fix this thing is in all in Senate Bill 54. I get to be the legislator carrying it, but the real detail work is happening with Reneva Moss. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. I just wanted to give kind of a brief history of how we got here. If you remember correctly, in 2017, we introduced a Senate Bill 86. The original version actually repealed a statute that required the railroad to get legislative approval for land sales. It left the Senate as a pilot project, a three-year project that would allow them to sell property and come back to the legislature and give reports of the status of the land sales. In your packet, you'll see the first year report. Senate Bill 86 died a very slow death in House Labor and Commerce, and the House and the Senate both agreed that they felt it was important to put public lands into private ownership and encourage economic development, so they rolled Senate Bill 86 into House Bill 119. 119 was a bill that dealt with public corporations, so it fit the title. And what the legislature did is they added five specific land sales that the railroad had already approved by resolution, and it also added two land sales that were by request of companies who already had land leases with the railroad. One of those was Linden Transport, and the other one was a low-income housing project. Five of those sales are in the process now, and the report will give you the status of that. But in the last 2 or 3 days of session is when Senate Bill 86 got rolled into 119. The error in the land description was actually my fault. I thought that the railroad was selling the existing lease that they had. They were selling that lease, but they were also selling the rest of that block of land. And you'll have a map in here that shows what they call Parcel B, which is about 18 acres that was in the original land sale, but it wasn't in the bill and nobody caught it, so we're here to correct the mistake.
Thank you, Ms. Moss. Are there any questions for the bill's sponsor? Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. My eyes aren't as good as they used to be. Just trying to orient myself, Parcel B, where is that exactly on?
It's through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. That's the parcel that's on the right-hand side of that map.
But in terms of, if I could, Madam Chair, is that up near Denali? Is that off the Parks Highway?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, it is in the Healy area. It is south of the Parks, that would be east of the Parks Highway.
Follow-up question?
I'm just wondering if I could get a little better map that I could actually see where it is location-wise at some point.
Through the chair, we can certainly get you a map.
Thank you. I also want to state for the record that Senator Bishop has joined us and has been here for a while. Are there any other questions? I will have Senator Machicki followed by Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is the railroad on the line today?
They are. Okay. I have invited testimony by Mr. John Cook, who's a board member of the Alaska Railroad Corporation, so he'll be in a bit.
I can wait.
Okay, thank you. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the past, when we transferred property, we did not transfer subsurface rights. Do we have subsurface rights, and are they being transferred under this particular piece of legislative action?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, this is only transferring surface rights, and not subsurface rights.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. We do have invited testimony after this. Next, we will hear from Mr. John Cook, who's on the line, board member of the Alaska Railroad Corporation. Mr. Cook, I do know that we have one senator who has a question for you, but please feel free to make opening statements if you wish before I move into questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is John Cook. I'm chairman of the Board of Directors of the Alaska Railroad Corporation. As Ms. Moss has stated, the SB 54 is needed to just clean up an error from the prior year regarding a sale that we would like to at Otto Lake near Healy that will be used for a large hotel development. So are we still remain in support of this project and would like to complete the sale to a subsidiary or, I guess, Premier Alaska Tours this year? They'd like to start construction activities this year. So we remain supportive. We appreciate your past support and would welcome your support again today for SB 54.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. I do know that we have Senator Machicki who had a question for you. Senator Machicki?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Cook, we go through the trouble on working with the railroad for bills such as this, and I'm curious about the status of last year's land sale. And as Ms. Moss said, in the spirit of transferring certain public lands to private ownership in the private sector, particularly those that have spent many years and millions of dollars developing that property, I don't believe both of those sales or all of those sales were executed last year. Can you report on the status of the properties that Ms. Moss listed earlier in the meeting?
Through this chair to Senator Machicki, that's an excellent question, and I'm glad that you asked it. I'm actually able to report that we did close the vast majority of the sales that were approved in the prior year. We closed the sale of Tri-Valley Subdivision to Usabelli Coal Mine, who will in turn sell it to the individual owners. That was closed in the prior year. We also closed a portion of the Premier Alaska sale at Otto Lake, the portion that we were able to transfer fee simple, that was closed in the prior year. Additionally, there was a residential subdivision that the railroad has sat on for over 20 years vacant. We received authorization to sell those lots, and I'm happy to report that out of 10 lots that we put up for sale last year, we sold 9 of those lots. There's one lot remaining from the original phase one that's not frontage. We have another 14 lots that we're going to put up for sale here at any time. And again, that particular land is land that sat vacant for over 20 years with over $1 million invested in utilities. There's two other parcels that have not closed, but that should close. One was to Eklutna, which was actually a land swap, which we also have to receive permission to do. That should close sometime this year. And the final parcel was sale to of some port land to the Port of Alaska, the municipality of Anchorage, and that's another transaction that I would assume would close, hopefully, that should close sometime this year. So all of the transactions you approved either have closed or are scheduled to close, and in the instance of Chena Landings, which is a multi-year phased project, again, we had a very positive sellout and more to come. That's all new construction for single-family homes or multifamily homes in the Fairbanks area, so very positively received project where we received at or above asking price on all 9 lots that we sold in 2018. So hope that explains things, and I'm happy to answer any follow-up questions or anything else you have with regard to that, Senator Michicki.
Follow-up, Senator Michicki.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's an excellent report and good progress on the sale. So the Linden piece is the piece in the port, and you said that that's in progress as we speak?
Through the chair, Senator Michicki, no. There is actually land that the municipality of Anchorage needs for the Port of Alaska, so that is the one that's that is in process. Linden and NeighborWorks were ones that, frankly, we had not had, you know, those were ones that got put in that we did not have an agreement to sell or anything there. So those were put in. But the port piece I'm talking about specifically is with the municipality of Anchorage.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Co-Chair Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm just kind of curious on some background, and then on the potential setbacks when the railroad sells their property, like here on this Otto Lake. I was just wondering if we can get an update on that, because I have a follow-up, a comment, and maybe a question in that comment.
Mr. Cook.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, can you explain setbacks? Do you mean like actual setbacks or schedule setbacks? What type of setback are you referring to?
When the state transfers land, DNR, university, or what have you, they along the waterfront do setbacks, building setbacks, or actually they're targeted for, you know, pedestrian or access easements. They don't define actually what an access easement is, if it's pedestrian or bulldozer access, just an access easement. So you wouldn't be able to, if it was a 50-foot setback, you would not be able to put a structure within 50 feet of the waterline of the lake, or if it was like at your home, 25 feet, you wouldn't, for a front setback, you wouldn't be able to put a structure within 25 feet of your front property line. And I'm wondering if there's any setback issues attached to these sales, as an example, along Otto Lake or other water bodies.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, there are actually, with regard to the Chena Landings subdivision, I can tell you that there is a waterway setback of 25 feet from the mean high water mark. So there is a setback there that's a no-build area. Additionally, though, it has it's not totally related to the question you have. We've granted a trail easement to go through that subdivision that the city and DOT will eventually build a walking bike trail. With regard to Otto Lake, I can't speak to the specific setbacks that are there. I know we've got some technical folks online from the railroad, or either Bill O'Leary or perhaps one of the other folks there from the real estate end that could answer the actual setback question. Additionally, I believe Peter Grunwald from Premier Alaska is online, so they may have a better idea on that. I can tell you they had to go through a replatting process with the Denali Borough. So to the extent that there are, like, actual setbacks notated on the plat or in purchase and sale agreements, I don't have specific knowledge of that other than I would say we've got folks online that would be able to answer this specific question with regard to Otto Lake. I just know about Chena Landings.
So, Senator Sidman, that is correct. We do have Andy Barrand with the Alaska Railroad Chief Legal Counsel and Jim Kubik's Vice President of Real Estate. So if we could, if you could hold your question and continue with Mr. Cook, and then the other invited testimony is Mr. Grunwald. Unless you would like me to bring up Mr. Barrand's now.
No, we could bring it up, bring it back when it fits into the sequence of invited guests, because I've got a couple more questions that tie into this subject that's broader than the railroad. It affects, you know, us across the state and how the...
Okay. So for Mr. Cook, I see Senator Wilikowski. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this fits in with the testimony, but a couple questions on the language in the bill. Page 1, lines 12 through 14, it says the Alaska Railroad Corporation may accept cash equivalent to the fair market value of the land being conveyed. So my questions are, has there been an appraisal done? And if so, what is that shown? Question 2 is, has there ever been a history of this land being leased before? And question 3 is, on the may accept cash equivalent, does that give the railroad the ability to accept less than the fair market value?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I can tell you a couple things. One, when this happened a year ago, to ensure that we did obtain an appraisal on the parcel, I believe it was, I can't recall the exact amount, but I can tell you the purchase price that we sold this land for was in excess of the appraised value. Also, when this happened, to ensure that we kind of kept the process moving forward, that amount was paid. A portion of which was for the fee simple land, and the remainder, which is the piece you're looking at now, was a prepaid 95-year lease. So in the event that this legislation didn't pass, we've kind of got a backup plan, again, whether that would be acceptable or not to Premier in the long run. You know, their preference is to have fee simple ground for reasons they can let you know here when they get on the line. But we had the entire amount paid up front when we closed last fall, and it was in cash. So a portion of that remains kind of as a deposit, either for a prepaid lease or for the fee simple purchase, but we have obtained full funds in cash.
Senator Wilikowski, follow-up.
And if I could, just what was the amount that it was appraised for, and what was the amount that it was sold for?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, to ask me the exact numbers again, we've got folks online that can answer that. My recollection is it was approximately $250,000 for the appraisal, and $400,000 was the sale amount. There was a tenant that had a portion of this property, so Premier had to work with that entity and obtain their, you know, rights prior to closing with us. They did that. So, you know, that property was, a portion of that property was previously leased to an outfit, a tourism outfit down in Denali, the Healy area, I should say.
So, Senator Wilikowski, I've written down a couple of those questions for other folks. Is there anybody, any other committee member who would like to ask questions for Mr. John Cook? Mr. Cook, thank you very much for being on the line. I do see that we have Mr. Jim Kubitz, who's on the line, Alaska Railroad Vice President of Real Estate. Mr. Kubitz, we have questions here for setbacks and sales prices. Are you on the line with us?
Yes, Madam Chairman, I'm on the line. The first question was asked about setbacks up in the Healy area, And that's always a local determination depending on what the borough regulations are on that. So they will have a regulation as to what the land use setback will be on that. It doesn't affect our selling the simple piece of land. So that's the answer to that one. And I think the second question, Mr. Cook, was very close on the answer to what was the appraised value of that property was $270,000, and we concluded a sale price of $400,000.
Thank you, Mr. Kubitz. Are there any follow-up questions? Hold on, I want to make sure I get everybody's name here. We have Senator Wilikowski, and I think I saw Hoffman. Okay, so let's say Wilikowski first.
Thank you. And just on the tenant or tenants that were on that property, what sort of terms did you have with those tenants, and does this sale exceed the terms of the lease that you had with the tenants?
We had, you were talking about the Healy Auto Lake piece, correct?
I'm talking about the piece that's parcel B, that's before us today.
Well, that part, we did have a tenant on that right on Auto Lake, and that was part of the piece that was transferred and sold already to Premier. That was a long-term lease on that, but Premier bought out that business, and we ended up, of course, consummating the sale. The piece that's in front of you today that was left out was not under lease previously. It's vacant land, and it's just adjacent to the development site.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd just like to come back to my setback question. I realize Auto Lake is not a tidewater body, but it's a lake body. And the concern I have, Madam Chairman, is here we have the railroad moving forward, selling some land, and they've got a zero waterfront setback. And that's all good and fine, but when we compare it to other entities in the state that sell real estate, and before I jump into that, let me back up a little bit back to the railroad. Here we're trying to work with the railroad so they can enhance their real estate portfolio, liquidate what properties in their best interest to enhance their portfolio and lease others. So I don't think anybody has too much issue with that. But here, Madam Chairman, we have a zero setback at Auto Lake, which seems reasonable, and the platting authority, as reference, has some control over that issue. Other areas have a 25-foot setback. But when we take a look at DNR and we take a look at the university sometimes has 50 feet, sometimes less, but normally 50 feet. DNR will have 50 feet to 100. And when you put a 100-foot setback on waterfront, you diminish its value. And 50-foot, I think, also diminishes it. It's too excessive. When you're down to 25 feet, you can move people along the waterfront. You don't need 50 or 100. And just as a case in point, the railroad, where they're enhancing their value, DNR has land sales with a 100-foot waterfront setback. How does that enhance the value of waterfront property when you got to set back any structure 100 feet? When there is no, this isn't Anchorage where you have, 280, 300,000 people. We're talking about, remote parcels. There is no transversing, or very little transversing by the public up and down the shorefront. Clearly not in the woods. The edge of the high tide line. So, Madam Chairman, I just want to take this opportunity to point out the discrepancies we have between the railroad, DNR, and the university. They're all trying to do the same thing, enhance their value of their real estate, but we have some severe impediments with DNR, and with that, they're different across the state. I think southeast has that 100-foot setback. Northern southeast 50 foot. So I think there's some issues with that, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to point that out. that I'm in agreement with the railroad and how they're handling their properties and their setbacks. And the other arenas mentioned, DNR and University, I think at some point we need to take a look at that because it hurts their land value, which then rolls back to impact the issues at the table with the Treasury.
Thank you, Senator Stedman, for those comments. We have Senator Hoffman followed by Senator Machicki.
I'm fine. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Well, it's an interesting question. I know the Kenai Peninsula Borough recently did an Anadromous Streams Act that I believe put a 50-foot setback on all properties. And if you're purchasing, just for an example, if you want to dock on a piece of tidewater that maybe the reason you're purchasing the property, it's very difficult in some cases to get permitting to even install the dock. So the reason you purchase the property in the first place, if we talk about unleashing the private sector, is they're unable to actually install the reason they purchased the property in the first place. So it is a problem. I agree with you, Senator Stedman. I'm certainly willing to look at you. It's impacted my district fairly significantly.
So no question there, Senator Machicki, for Mr. Kibitz.
No, the question when I first raised my hand was about Otto Lake and if there was a permitting, or the Chena subdivision, if there was a permitting system for actually using. So there may be a setback, but I was just wondering if there was a permitting system where they could actually use it under a permit for an installation, even if it's not a permanent piece of real property. So that was my question I was going to ask the railroad.
Mr. Kibitz, did you hear the question, and can you answer for Mr. Senator Machicki?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, once again, these decisions are made by the local land use people, either in the borough or in the city. So we know that there's a 25-foot setback on the Chena River, as Chairman Cook talked about there. Whether or not they can get a permit to use that 25 feet would be a local decision made by the city of Fairbanks and or the borough there. We have no control over that since we basically sold the property fee simple.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have Senator Bishop followed by Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to dovetail on to Senator Stedman's comments, you know, as it pertains to DNR land, since we're going down that conversation. I would like to see us make the land more accessible for people to buy the land so we get the highest and best value for those land sales. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator Stedman.
Well, just in response to the Chena River, I just want the committee to kind of remember the difference between a setback, building setback, versus I think that's what was referenced on the Chena River comment, and what I'm referencing is a pedestrian or an easement for access. So when you have a setback for your building, doesn't allow a public access easement to walk in front of your property or across your property versus the easement, pedestrian easement for public or utility easement or a utility and power line easement. And also just for the public at home, there's no interest to eliminate public access on the waterfront. It's just the concern is the amount of the setback. You don't need 100 foot to walk down the beach or even 50 feet above high tide. And 25 is a very common number around the state, or excuse me, around the municipalities for most setbacks. For access and visibility, so there's a very distinct difference between the two. And to Senator Bishop's point, it definitely hurts the value of the properties.
So we do have a bill in front of us that adds a little bit of extra land to the bill that we passed last year in order for the railroad to complete a sale of property in and around Healy. So that's the bill in front of us. If we have any further questions for Mr. Jim Kubitz, I do have another invited testimony, the buyer of the said property, Mr. Peter Grunwald. Senator Wilikowski.
My question I had asked before, I don't know that it's been answered, and I think I know the answer, but I just want to get it on the record. Page 1, line 13 says the Alaska Road Corporation may accept cash equivalent, and could I just get a statement on the record that that does not give you the ability to accept less than the cash equivalent of the fair market value?
Yes, this is Jim Kubis from Alaska Railroad. That's correct. We cannot accept less than fair market value for our property.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kubis. No further questions from the committee for the Alaska Railroad. I'd like to bring up Mr. Peter Grunwald. Thank you, Mr. Kubis, for staying on the line. And Mr. Grunwald, can you state your name for the record and provide your testimony?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Peter Grunwald, and I am managing member of Alaska Tourism Development, which is our real estate investment and holding company, and co-owner of Premier Alaska Tours, our operating company. And this bill in front of you today is correcting really just a clerical error from last year that we had authorization for at least approval from the Board of Directors of the Alaska Railroad and had moved forward with an appraisal for the purchase of a 47-acre tract on Otto Lake, which is just north of Denali National Park, with the intention of building a hotel for summer tourist operations, a boathouse, a motor coach maintenance facility, and some employee housing. And the 17 acres that we're specifically talking about today was included in the appraisal and was essentially prepaid when we closed on the 26 acres, and it is not contiguous to the lake. So if we're looking at Plat B here, it was not previously ever leased by the Alaska Railroad, and it was a buffer area for not only a view shed, but also an area to set the motor coach maintenance facility, a shop area, and some employee housing on away from the development that would be visible to the hotel development, the boathouse, gazebo, stuff that we're talking about. So I think it's important to note that the 17, 18 acres that we're talking about right now is not lakefront. It is a correction from last year, and it's been fully funded, and we are looking forward to starting construction this summer as soon as possible. But without the ability to own this property fee simple, it is more challenging, as you know, for bank financing, for development and partnerships, and what we are looking at to do with this land. And we appreciate the committee's support on this moving forward and resolution to correct this from last year. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grunwald. Our governor did, part of his platform, did discuss the importance of unleashing entrepreneurialism and diversifying our revenue. And tourism is has been highlighted as a bright spot in our economy and continues to be a significant employer. We should have, or forecasted to have, record visitors here in Alaska this summer, both ground and water. And having our featured element of the Denali National Park is world-renowned. So I just wanted just to state that for the record, and I see that Senator Bishop had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Grunwald, how many new jobs, is this going to bring in, seasonal jobs, when you're at capacity with your construction?
Let me answer that with two maybe different answers to that. One, Premier Alaska Tours is an operating company with motor coaches, rail cars, and our summer tour operation employs 650 people, and we try as hard as we can to hire local Alaskans. We are super proud to be a locally owned and operated company and delivering Alaskan service, Alaskan food, and anything that we can find made in Alaska. The operation that we currently run is running into a bottleneck in Denali National Park that there aren't enough rooms. In order for us to grow our business and continue to fill seats on our train cars, seats on our buses, we need additional capacity in Denali National Park. And when visitors come to the state of Alaska right now, there's two things that really, in the marketing, hit home. One is Glacier Bay National Park, and the other is Denali National Park. And we are concerned long-term that if we don't do something to provide more accommodations in the Denali area, that we aren't going to be able to continue to sell tours that are 7, 8, 9-night tours that also include Alyeska Resort, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Talkeetna. And this hotel specifically, as we look at a 300-room hotel, you are looking at approximately 200 additional employees that would be based in Denali National Park and working in housekeeping and management and We're also looking at a maintenance facility here that would help us with our winter operation. Currently, we don't have an ability to keep coaches warm in the winter. We're bringing down Northern Lights, viewing a lot of inbound Chinese tourists from Alaska, and having a winter presence there is something that we're looking at long term. So the maintenance side of being able to warm start and work on coaches there would be really helpful too.
Thank you for adding those additional jobs to our economy.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Thank you, Mr. Grunwald. Any other further questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Grunwald, for your testimony. That is the end of our invited testimony. We will now open public testimony for Senate Bill 54. Do we have anybody online signed up for public testimony? Do we have anybody in the room that would like to testify for Senate Bill 54? Seeing and hearing none, public testimony is closed. Does the committee have any further questions or discussion? What is the will of the committee? Would you like to move this bill today, or would you like to wait and discuss it? We're going to do a brief at ease. Back on the record. So, Senator Schauer, would you please review the fiscal note?
Yes, Madam Chair. Fiscal note review. Previous fiscal note number one applies. Number one, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, appropriation Alaska Railroad Corporation, allocation Alaska Railroad, OMB component number zero. The Alaska Railroad Corporation is a public corporation established under AS 4240010. The corporation operates independently and is not a part of the governor's FY 2020 proposed operating budget.
Thank you. I think in lieu of the fact that we are waiting on some information to come back, such as a bigger map that Senator Wilikowski requested, among other things, we will hold the bill and set it aside. So if anybody has any concerns or amendments, please let my office know. So that concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting will be tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the Port of Anchorage, and we will see you then. This meeting is adjourned.